Good afternoon, everybody on the call. May I welcome you to UBM's full year conference call, which offers a particularly full range of highlights, as summarized on slide three of our presentation. As you know already, 2018 has not only been the 145th year of our existence, it also has been a year of record, a record year. And a record year calls for a record dividend. With €2.20, we are delivering a dividend yield of almost 6% and belong to the highest yielding shares on the Vienna Stock Exchange. We also do not need to be shy of any peer comparison. We have also proven the sustainability of our profits and believe that the quality of our earnings has never, never been better. There might even be some upsides going forward. Our strong balance sheet represents a solid starting base and offers more options than I would have dared to dream of 3 years ago when my team and I joined the company. All of this has not been achieved at the expense of our future. The contrary is the case. We have refilled our pipeline and see our future well supported by megatrends. So it comes as no surprise that the outlook for the current year and beyond looks more than promising. We believe that we can repeat the record levels of 2018 in the current year, and this despite the absence of spectacular completions like Zalando or Leuchtenbergring or Office Provider. We shall also provide you with a midterm outlook. Before doing so, may I draw your attention to slide four and dig a bit deeper into our dividend. We have promised a reliable dividend policy 3 years ago, and we are delivering it ever since. After €1.60 for 2016 and €2 per share for 2017, we are now suggesting €2.20 to the annual general meeting. This is a payout ratio of 41% for each of the 3 years and what can be called continuity, I suppose. The compound annual growth rate of our dividend has been 17% over the last 3 years. Our record dividend is based on record sales of 660 million as illustrated on slide five. The three projects visualized on this slide represent a sales volume of more than 450 million and have all been completed last year. On top of it, we succeeded to sell down another 150 million of standing assets through our Pure Play program. Please bear this in mind when we go through our guidance later. But before we do so, I would like to hand over to Patrick, who will present some more financial highlights.
Thank you, Thomas. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, also from my side. Please turn to slide number six. Based on what Thomas said, we are particularly proud of our earnings development and its quality. We continuously worked on a way to handle the inherent volatility of our business model to provide our investors with continuous earnings growth. The business model is set up in a way that a development business, which has the reputation to be volatile for many reasons, can nevertheless be structured in a way to provide sustainable earnings. How are we achieving this? It's the mix that matters. In our development pipeline, we focus on a good mix of real estate projects, including fast movers, bread and butter projects, and long-term outperformers. With this mix, we have been able to deliver sustainable earnings not only in the past, but also in the future. The emphasis is not only limited to UBM's sustainability of earnings, but also to their enhanced quality. Our efficiency program, Next Level, will show its full effect in 2019 when the full potential of €12 million per year will be generated. Additionally, we will witness a shrinking impact from fair value adjustments or write-offs. And there might be even room for upside potential. Real estate prices might increase further, given that rising demand is facing stagnating supply. This is also true when it comes to increasing rents, which is, beside yield levels, the second variable when it comes to negotiate with investors. Decreasing currency exchange losses in the context of our development business in Poland could have a further positive effect. Another positive effect could derive from project sales in other markets than Germany. Due to comparatively high corporate tax rate in Germany, the sales of two flagship projects, the Zalando headquarters in Berlin and the hotel and office development Leuchtenbergring in Munich, UBM tax rate was 28.9% at year end. But let's get back to our current numbers and how we have achieved them. As stated, the earnings growth resulted primarily from increased property sales combined with a strong focus on efficiency control. From 2016 to 2018, our EBT rose by 17% on an average per year. This is even more impressive when taking into account the compensation of the negative currency effects from the Polish zloty versus the euro, which amounted to roughly 8 million of negative effect in 2018. Earnings per share rose by nearly 9% year on year to €5.31. I want to point out once more that the bottom line performance is in the end the fairest indicator for our profitability. Remember, the EBT figure includes the earnings of our at equity holdings after tax, and this is why you should look at the earnings after tax on or the earnings per share. Please turn now to slide number 7. On this chart, you can see the strongest financial development in UBM's history so far. When Thomas and I joined UBM, we assumed, in line with the general market perception, that the interest rates will increase from mid-2019 and positioned UBM accordingly. UBM's target was to increase the equity ratio in a range of 30 to 35%. This has been delivered. End of last year, the equity ratio was on the upper end of the guided range with 35%. At the same time, it was essential to reduce the net debt level. At the end of 2016, it stood at 690 million with an LTV of 56%. The peak above 750 million was even higher. When the upcoming economic downturn then in mind, UBM strategically carried out several sales programs and was able, with high cash conversions, to reduce net debt sharply by the end of last year with a decrease of 270 million. With this net debt, LTV now stands at 34%. For a pure play developer, even under-leveraged. This said, our strong financial position is the basis for our self-financing power and therefore the ability to steer the business in exactly the direction in which we want it to go. Now I'm on slide number 8. You can see that reducing our net debt did not prevent us from investing heavily into our future. Driven by a much more optimistic interest rate scenario, we boosted our investments in the second half of 2018. In 2018, UBM invested 300 million alone into new projects, being a good mix of fast movers, bread and butter projects, and long-term performers. The new projects show an increasing size to generate scale effects because a larger project does not automatically tie up more capacity. Even though we invested 530 million in total in 2018, we still have a strong cash position of 200 million on our balance sheet. This provides us with more options and more flexibility in the future. Please follow me now to slide number 9. This slide gives the perfect overview from a cash perspective. Looking at the bar net debt 1, you can see that after successfully selling our standing assets and development projects, we would have been net debt free. We would have even been 123 million net cash positive. Even after meeting our stakeholder obligations, the net cash position would have still been positive. However, 2018, with the tailwind prevailing, was a good time to refill UBM's pipeline and acquire projects that also in the future will provide sustainable earnings for our stakeholders. Now it is on Thomas to tell you about our pipeline and the mega trends in the hotel and residential markets supporting our strategic decision.
Absolutely, Patrick. Please turn to slide 10. After having reduced our pipeline by 660 million euros in 2018, the total output expected from our pipeline in the next 4 years, and that's important, only in the next 4 years, i.e. that does not include our Munich project, which will really turn into reality beyond this stage, our pipeline still stands at 1.8 billion. So we've compensated for the 660 million. We have successfully refilled the pipeline predominantly with hotel and residential projects. Currently, they are making up for 85% of all of our projects. Even after more than a decade of real estate boom, there's still opportunity to benefit from four megatrends in these two asset classes. Being Europe's number one hotel developer, we often hear, but do we not have enough hotels already? The clear answer is no. Over the next 10 years, we shall see private hotel operators being marginalized and almost squeezed out of the market, with the big reservation engines from the large hotel operators eating the cake from the top and Airbnb pushing from below. With UBM and its focus on city hotels, we are benefiting from the megatrend of city tourism on top of it. Let me illustrate this with some data from Vienna. Last year, the city in which we are headquartered has seen more than 16 million room nights for the first time ever in history. 16 million. And it's a city with 2 million inhabitants. While room nights in Austria grew on average by 3.6%, Vienna managed to grow by 6.3%, almost double. City tourism booms not only in Vienna. Between 2008 and 2017, the increase was 60%, almost twice as high than the average, according to a study for 15 major European cities. No wonder that PwC calls for a rise of the alternatives in their emerging trends in real estate study. Alternatives include, of course, hotel assets. We see a similar situation in residential. Protests in Berlin calling for the nationalization or expropriation of apartments are nothing else than an expression of the continuous structural undersupply of living space in major cities. Here the megatrends are called urbanization and microliving. The meaning behind the latter describes the phenomenon that the steady inflow of people into the limited space of a city calls for a reduction of space per inhabitant and a continuously shrinking size of apartments. So it's not only a function of single households, it's also a function of this phenomenon. Let me provide you with some more statistical data quickly. Europe will see the number of tourists grow by 178 million by 2030, according to Roland Berger and slide number 11. This makes it the region with the second highest growth after Asia Pacific. And it is Asia Pacific where the tourists are coming from. Germany in general and Berlin will definitely benefit disproportionately. The same is true for Vienna. I'm not talking about the future only. The statistics on room nights start in 2008 and show the demand and supply disparity quite impressively. The residential market offers similar evidence from the past and no hope for a quick fix in the future. Just have a look at slide number 12. On the left-hand side, you see Germany's 7A cities and Vienna, the second largest German-speaking city. Between 2017 and 2016, between 2007 and 2016, Berlin produced on average a supply of 5,100 new apartments, whereas the demand stood at 21,200. Vienna, as another example, was not able to satisfy half of the demand. No wonder that rents and purchase prices increased dramatically above the consumer price index and will continue to rise well above inflation rate in the foreseeable future. And with all regulatory threats already having been taken into account. This leads me to the outlook for 2019 on slide number 30. You will see us repeat the record year 2018 this year. I know that capital markets are never excited by anything but double-digit growth. Let me only remind you what I said at the beginning. With so many spectacular completions in 2018, we are committed to, or without them, we are committed to reach 55 million of earnings before tax and 40 million after tax without such completions in 2019. The percentage of completion method helps, of course, but it is due to our effort for sustainable profits, which puts us in such a position. On seasonality, we shall have a slow start this year with all our successes in Q4 last year. It hardly ever happened in the history of this company that all the projects really got completed and sold when they were planned. As the year progresses, we will see a significant uptake in growth, helped not only by the completion of our 500 rooms hotel in Hamburg, but also by several young projects, if you want, becoming eligible for forward sales structures. Patrick mentioned some of the other upsides. A much bigger upside is offered in the midterm, we believe, as can be seen on the last slide of our formal presentation, slide number 14, the midterm outlook. Interest rates stay low. No need for further explanation at this stage. Political uncertainties and revision of economic data southward, as strange as it sounds, help safe harbors. Real estate is definitely one of these safe harbors. There is no short-term remedy for the structural undersupply. On the contrary, many opportunistic developers feel the longer the boom, the less tempted we are to invest due to the long lead times for permissions or other factors inherent to our business. While supply is shrinking, with every transaction, demand is further fueled by additional overseas investors. We did not only sell the Zalando headquarters, but also the office provider here in Vienna to a South Korean investor. And Patrick and I will visit these investors in the course of the first half year. What is our framework for such future perspective? We shall sustain our equity ratio in a range of 30 to 35%. Net debt shall not exceed a loan-to-value ratio of 50%. We are committed to a sustainable performance and to smoothening our annual earnings. We have proven in the past and shall prove going forward that refilling the pipeline with high-quality projects is possible for a developer with a focus like us. Finally, we have construction costs under control, and the times of massive increases are coming to an end. All of this taken together suggests a promising future for the next 3 years minimum. With the track record we have built over the last 3 years, we believe that this view deserves some credibility. I'm sure you have the one or other question, and as always, Patrick and I are delighted to answer them. May I now open the call for your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. And one moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from the line of Stefan Scharf with SRC Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Stefan here from SRC. My first question is about slide 8. Slide 8 is about the investments level, and in 18 it was more than 500 million. 200 million more than in the 2 years before. Can you say something about the investments level in 2019?
Well, it's early stage, and I can assure you that with the economic scenario in mind that we've just described, we want to continue to take up particularly larger scale projects. However, you know, you've got to get them. And it's more often than not that we find ourselves in a position where others overpay, or where they are withdrawn from the market in the hope of the situation even coming to better prices from a seller's point of view. So it's, for me, too early to take a number where we are dependent on third parties. As I said, it should be at the highest possible level because that would be in line with the strategy that we've just described.
Okay. Okay. Another question from my side would be after I took a look through your annual report is in 2018 you reported expenses from fair value adjustments of about 7 million from Hungary, Poland and Austria. Can you give us a bit more details here about these fair value adjustments?
Okay, of course I can, and a very good question. So one of them was already in the first half. That was due to a sale in Budapest, an old project we have sold, a standing one, which is roughly 2.2 million of this number. Then we have roughly 2 million where we got back to market prices on two assets in the Graz region, very old asset, very old standings, which are for a longer time with the company. And 2.3 million of the number are coming from shopping centers in Poland, which also had to be adjusted to the current market prices.
Okay. But, okay, Graz is a good market, I guess, but, okay, perhaps there are some special reasons for a devaluation here.
Yeah, Stefan, let me jump in here. The 150 million of standing asset sales that I've mentioned did not fall from heaven. As we clean up UBM, and we've gone a very far way, but we are not at the end, the one or other adjustment will help us to get the assets out of our books quicker. And that is the reason. In connection with Poland, of course, if you have a big tenant, that leaves you or goes bust or whatever, and you can't substitute them with the same rent, there's a need for adjustment. So that will also always happen. I think the big point that we are making is, we've seen fair value adjustments in a magnitude that was, I'm bad in calculating it at head, but it's been several times. Okay. It's gone down, and we think it will shrink as we kind of have all of the, heritage leave the company over the course of time.
Okay. Another question would be about your financial costs. About 10 million came from valuation adjustments to project financing and investments in Croatia and Russia. Can you give us a bit more details here?
Of course I can. In Russia, we have a 10% share in a development which has been done in the past, and this development is still an office and a hotel. And this 10% or the core shareholders of the assets, and as I said, they're not in the driver's seat, have decided a debt equity swap. And due to the debt equity swap, we had to reduce our shareholder loans by a significant amount, which was 6.5 million. This is now at the level I would say we are not expecting too much from that angle coming in the future.
Okay.
And the second two was one sale. It was a hospital sale, one of the standings we have sold, 2.3 million, also something we have done in the first quarter, if I recall correctly, or at least in the first half. And the third one is a residential development in Croatia, which we also have in our stomach quite a while, and that has been reduced over time, and 1.5 is there the number we have taken this year. And that all shows you, despite taking all these hits and having no fair value adjustments on the positive side, the 55 is an even stronger number.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much, and yeah, congrats for the hike in dividend payment.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one at this time. Next question comes from the line of Christian Bader with Raiffeisen Centrobank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Can you maybe tell us which assumptions you have made for your profit guidance for 2019?
Yeah. The assumption, as I said, is that we have the normal course of business, okay, and that we do not get an offer for a standing asset like the Hansen Kempinski in Vienna, okay, where we have been very open telling you that we expect a buyer to come along who wants a Ringstraßen Palais, okay, and is prepared to look at the yield that, you know, is not a, sorry, average yield. If this is the case, okay, there is an upside to it. So all we have taken into consideration is the projects that we know, the POCs that we know. We have, however, assumed, and let me be also straightforward to you there, that the biggest project that is on this list, the QVC 1 and 2 project, the office project in Vienna with 36,000 square meters, will be forward sold over the course of this year. And this also indicates why we say, look, we will have a, you know, weak first quarter. We will have a reasonable first half, so we will catch up on this one. And it's a bit difficult to time, and so we are feeling more comfortable to say it's rather backloaded that we will reach this. But with QVC 1 and 2, which will be completed in autumn of next year, okay, on a POC basis, we feel comfortable to reach the same level as 2018 with the only hotel. I mean, it's a 90 million completion, but compared to the to 200 million project and the 70 million project here in Austria, it's comparatively small. That's the only big completion that we have in mind for this year.
Okay, if I may add on to your statement, does your guidance, does your profit guidance also include, let's say, the targeted profitable sale of some standing assets?
No, as I said, the one that I've mentioned was the Kempinski. Let me be precise, and I think I've mentioned that in the past, but just for completeness sake, as we acquire the 3-hectare piece of land in Mosach within the city boundaries of Munich, we are now selling a piece of land outside Munich in Dornach, which we've reserved and hoped to be able to build the headquarters for a company that now has decided to rent rather than have it built. And we feel this is a good point to say we have too much kind of long-term development land reserves in Munich and sell part of it. That's the Dornach property that you, I think, are well aware of. But that's a land bank, huh?
Okay. Good. Is it possible to give some numbers on this? I mean, can I see anywhere what the value of this Dornbach property land?
No. I think the best, and I understand that you have a need for it. The best I can do for you is to tell you, okay, that there is the possibility to build 60,000 square meters there. So you make your own assumptions for careful, not residential, but a commercial development, mm-hmm. What the right level in Dornach, which is mm-hmm. next to Riem, so an excellent piece of land, could be. But here I have to refer to your own best guesstimate.
All right, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
If there are any further questions, please press star followed by one at this time. The next question comes from the line of Berthold Wartmuth. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Berthold Wartmuth. I would like to ask if the shortage of skilled workers in the construction industry is some kind of a limitation in your business? Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Bertolt, it's definitely a problem for our sister company, POR, or Strabag, which is not our sister company, but another large international company, to make that clear. They are struggling, no doubt about it. And it's not only the skilled workers, it's even the unskilled workers, because it's a tough job that these people are doing. We see now bricklayers from the Ukraine, and we see bricklayers even from the Asian region work on our construction site. There is some hope for the Polish bricklayers to stick with the bricklayers that return from the UK eventually. It gets pushed out more and more, but they will. Not returning to Poland, but getting stuck somewhere in the middle, in the core markets of Germany and Austria. When you talk about skilled labors, I think, and I must pay tribute to the construction industry a while ago has realized, okay, that for good electricians, whatever, skilled workers, they need to provide themselves. And they've all started kind of trainee programs and seem to reap off the fruits now step by step. It's a big issue, as I said, for our sister company, POR, and I bet it is also true for others. And that is a major theme that all of the CEOs of these construction companies are having when they give interviews in public. So it is an issue. It's not going to be resolved in the short term, and it's not restricted to skilled labors. I think when we wrote on the midterm outlook that we've got construction costs under control, there will eventually be an equilibrium established by skilled and not skilled workers from further away that will make up for the shortfalls of this labor force in particularly Austria, Germany, but it's even true in Poland because, as I said, the Polish skilled labor force has left the country and only returns very slowly and often gets stuck in between. We are more benefiting from them visiting Poland and having to go to a hotel when they visit back home because they've moved their families and everything.
Many thanks for the answer.
Pleasure.
Your next question comes from the line of Julius Stinauer with Hauck & Aufhäuser. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, and it's Julius from Hauck. Just a question on the pipeline. So you said that you are still looking for projects, but still, of course, don't know if you will be able to increase the investments in new projects. But would it be fair to assume that if you found those projects, that the pipeline might even grow a bit more than 1.8 billion, and this would also maybe incur an increase in debt a little bit?
Absolutely. I think I'm afraid to say that the debt level might even increase slightly without the pipeline growing, because we have now bought pieces of land or projects that we haven't even started. And as we start them, and they are all fully on the balance sheet, they build some capex. So that was a side aspect of your question. We are still, with the scenario in mind that I've described, very bullish on the market. And the latest opportunity that we see is that people who financed their equity or mezzanine with 12 to 14%, believe that this is a good point in time for them to pass the project on to people with a better financing, which would be us. And this is how we could also exceed the pipeline. I think don't underestimate that the 660 million of sales proceeds that we've had, Okay, i.e. the 1.1 billion had to refill not effortlessly to get back to the 1.8 billion. And we have the Gdansk hotel project and the Hamburg hotel project that will still be completed and leave the pipeline as they are completed. And final point, again, I think you haven't even asked for it, but for the sake of completeness, Auberger Straße, i.e. the Mosach logistics piece of land, is not included in the pipeline because it will only get executed beyond end of 2022. So I hope that doesn't confuse you, but our pipeline is only a four-year horizon. And as we are waiting for the rezoning of Bauberger Straße, of Mosach, okay, and it might take between 3 and 4 years, there's hardly anything in the pipeline at the moment, but that will help us refill the pipeline at the end of 2019 when we give you then the 2020 to 2023 number.
Okay, no, that's pretty clear, and I think it shows that you were quite able to acquire a lot of projects last year to replenish the pipeline. Thank you.
And I wouldn't outrule to go to a level to 2 billion. I also wouldn't outrule the possibility that we drop at a quarter to below the 1.8 billion level. But our goal is to keep the pipeline as full as makes economic sense, okay? We are talking about an intelligent way of pushing forward.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
Further questions, please press star followed by one. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would like to hand back to Mr. Winkler for closing remarks.
Thank you, Emma, and call me Thomas. It hasn't only been a good year. It's also been a very good conference call. Thank you for the questions and your interest, and I'm looking forward to talk to you again soon. All the best, and happy Easter. Bye-bye.